On this episode, we discover that spring is coming early and that the jet stream is helping with ground speed records while in the air. And we visit with a HIMSS-trained psychiatrist, all on this episode of the Mayo Clinic Clear Approach Podcast, your home for aeromedical information that matters.
Welcome to this latest version of the podcast. I'm Mitch Nelson.
And I'm Clay Cole, your medical co-pilot, coming to you from Mayo Clinic in lovely Rochester, Minnesota.
Normally, this time of year in the spring in the Med City, it gets a little windy. But did you read about some of the historically strong winds over the Mid-Atlantic that have really propelled some aircraft at speeds over 800 miles an hour?
Yeah, you know, I was reading that there was a Virgin Atlantic Boeing 787, you know, the Dreamliner, from that was flying from Washington to London that arrived 45 minutes early. And the National Weather Service had calculated peak jet stream winds at approximately 265 miles an hour. And I guess allowing for maximal measured ground speeds of over 800 miles per hour. So, of course, one thinks about whether or not the Dreamliner would actually break the sound barrier. But for those airliner aficionados out there, you all know that although the Dreamliner is the fastest of that class of aircraft to fly up to Mach 0.85, it was just the tailwinds that pushed the ground speed up. It wasn't that actually the aircraft was traveling that fast in the air. You know, and I think there was a United Airlines flight and a China Air flight last month that were clocked at over 825 miles an hour based on ground speed, which I think was the highest known peak ground speed for commercial airliners.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Who needs the Concorde when you have the jet stream, right?
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't want to be caught in that flying in the hot air balloon.
No, I guess it would really put a whole new twist on popping your bubble.
We often see pilots with conditions such as prior drug or alcohol abuse or dependence, or individuals who have other types of mental health conditions such as depression, anxiety, adjustment disorders, or attention deficit disorders, who must go through the process of aeromedical scrutiny to establish clinical stability. It often takes a team of professionals working together in order to give a pilot the best possible chance of obtaining a special issuance authorization if these types of conditions are encountered.
Joining me today is Dr. Greg Kauser. He is board certified in occupational medicine and psychiatry. He sees patients in the section of transportation medicine at Mayo Clinic. Welcome, Dr. Kauser.
Thank you, Mitch.
Well, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been at Mayo Clinic.
Well, I've been at Mayo Clinic for almost 19 years now. I mostly take care of doctors, nurses, and other healthcare employees at Mayo Clinic, and I'm medical director of our employee assistance program here in Rochester. And as you mentioned, I trained formally both in occupational medicine and psychiatry and have board certifications in both. Did all my training at the University of Iowa and am an Iowa Hawkeye fan.
Go Hawkeyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I enjoy running and spending time with my family and friends in my free time.
Well, tell us about your role within the section of transportation medicine. What specifically are you doing for the pilots?
Well, I am a HIMSS psychiatrist. This is a specific role to help pilots who have had addiction and or mental health issue. In the not so distant past, pilots with these issues would be automatically grounded. There have been considerable advances in the mental health field over the years and greater understanding of mental health issues. The good news is this encourages pilots to seek help when they have a mental health issue, which hopefully helps them have better health and stay flying longer.
So So Dr. Kauser, tell me more about HIMSS, another acronym that we use in the realm of FAA medical certification.
I sometimes forget myself, but HIMSS officially stands for Human Intervention Motivational Study. It was originally an occupational substance abuse treatment program that was specific to pilots, and it helped pilots return to work. It was a cooperative program involving company representatives, pilot peer volunteers, healthcare professionals, and FAA medical specialists. This program later expanded beyond simple substance abuse treatment issues to include other mental health issues. In recent years, pilots with such issues as depression and anxiety could remain flying if taking approved antidepressants, such as Celexa, Lexapro, Prozac, Zoloft, or more recently, Wellbutrin.
So what is the process when you first see a pilot? What records are you looking for to prepare for that first assessment?
Okay, well, although I'm well-trained for my role with my board certifications and experience, I owe success to my preparation process to colleagues who have preceded me. Over the years, my colleagues worked extensively with the FAA and figured out what information was important to include and what information was extraneous. I have a template I use, and prior to seeing a pilot, I spend at least a couple of hours reviewing records. For every piece of information I review, I put a brief log in the chart so that the FAA understands I've seen that information. That is important as far as forming the basis of my conclusions. I review all medical records that are sent. I review a personal statement from the pilot that tells his or her own story about what happened from a mental health standpoint. I often need to review outside pharmacy records, peer pilot letters, supervisor pilot letters, and any other information that is relevant. Since the FAA will see all of this information, my record review is important as a basis of my ultimate formulation. The FAA sees any diagnoses and treatment plans, and I need to reconcile information that at times can be complex and even contradictory. I try to make it so it's easy when the pilot finally makes it to the evaluation to see me. I spend some time initially explaining who I am and what I do and just getting to know the pilot. Then I focus on filling in any gaps in information. I do a standardized interview called a mini neuropsychiatric interview that works well because it gives good data to support the formulation. Sometimes it can seem like I'm repeating myself, but this is important to make sure I don't miss anything. I discuss with the pilot my formulation and ultimate recommendations.
Clearly, there's a lot that goes into reviewing the medical records and preparing, really, the story that you're presenting to the FAA for their HIMSS evaluation. Are there any pet peeves or things that come up that would make it a little more difficult for the pilot?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I would say that pilots should make sure they do their homework too. They need to be prepared. Lack of a coherent personal statement, for example, reflects poorly on the pilot. I unfortunately don't have a magic wand to fix what others have written about the pilot in the past, and so having a coherent personal statement often helps explain, in the pilot's own words, what the struggles were in appropriate context. When I have that information, I can hopefully find a unifying narrative, including diagnosis, that hopefully allows for flying. I have to have integrity and call what I see based upon my clinical expertise, and so unfortunately, that's not always possible. In general, I will not see a pilot if I think that pilot has little to no chance to get special issuance, but sometimes I don't know until I see the pilot. I want pilots to understand I'm pulling for them, but ultimately, I do the best I can, given my role, is to shed light on the scenario and clarify truth. Pilots should also be thoughtful in answering my questions, although many times pilots will be asymptomatic. If they go through and answer every single question negatively, that can look suspicious, not just to me, but to the FAA, given their history. Almost everyone has mental health symptoms at times, and that doesn't necessarily mean there is a diagnosis or a concern with flying.
Right. So we know that, one of the things you mentioned was the pilot's personal statement. That's where they get to tell you their side of the story, their narrative. Are there other things that, aside from pilots being upfront and doing the personal narrative, that they can do to help prepare or give them the best opportunity for certification?
In general, my advice would be to get good sleep, come prepared and relaxed, and answer all questions honestly. As a pilot, it's normal not to be happy about having to undergo tests and exams. However, you do have the ability to control your attitude about the process. It's considerably easier
when that attitude is positive, and I definitely try to make it easy on my end to make it a smooth experience.
Yeah, I think that's very important for all pilots to consider anytime that they're coming for a HIMSS evaluation, that, you know, sleep, nutrition, everything that they can do to take care of themselves first, and giving them the best opportunity to really go through this experience. And you know, it shouldn't be looked at as something that's being punitive by any means, that it's a certification process that's really based on safety. Is there anything additional, any advice to add for pilots that are maybe going through the process for the very first time? Anything that you would just say, here are the things that you should really just focus on?
I would say, ironically, based on what you just said, some people or some pilots who come in and see the process as being something they don't necessarily want to go through later find right. out that it is important to them and actually help them shape their careers in a way that was meaningful for them moving forward.
Dr. Kauser is just one of many professionals within our team focused on assisting aviators from all walks of life flying all types of aircraft. We hope better understanding the HIMSS psychiatric evaluation process will help if you have encountered a prior addiction or have been diagnosed with certain mental health conditions that require clear documentation in order to qualify for a medical certificate. Regardless of where you are in the process, you should always remember to reach out for help and identify resources brought to bear, not only to help you emotionally and mentally, but also to help move you forward in your aviation journey. Thanks for joining us today on the podcast, and we look forward to having you join us on future episodes. Remember that if you encounter a health-related question pertaining to your aeromedical certification, you can reach our Clear Approach website at clearapproach.mayoclinic.org for an online consultation. And remember to send your comments and suggestions for future podcasts to clearapproach@mayo.edu. Soft landings, and make it a great day.